This from Martin. Martin wrote me last week. He said, Kevin, so you don't want to grade the draft. I have a bet with a friend of mine that you really liked their draft. So let's play a hypothetical game. I give you $1,000 to give me an honest grade, and you take the money and give the grade. Please play along. So Martin's got a friend who's he's got a bet with that I really like the draft. I'm not going to take your money, Martin. It's hypothetical anyway. Look, I'm fine with giving a grade on the draft. It's just such an exercise that every year when you see these people, you know, and everybody's got a grade, you just have to understand that they have no idea. It's easy to go back and audit the draft choices per team and to come to, you know, the answer, which is they're wrong essentially two-thirds of the time. The grading on the drafts is probably wrong two-thirds of the time as well. It's hard to grade a draft when you haven't seen any of these players play it down yet. Again, I've said this many times. If your grade is simply based on where they drafted him and if they got good value for the pick, meaning that guy was supposed to be picked a lot earlier and they got him a lot later, good value pick, or bad value pick, that guy was supposed to go much later, they picked him much earlier. You know, there's not even really in a draft like the one just completed a major consensus on the, you know, round, you know, equaling the player in terms of what's projected after the first maybe seven or eight picks. There was such a feeling among the draft experts, and even teams said this, that, you know, players 5 through 55 were basically interchangeable. So anyway, I went back and I did this for you, Martin. So I'm going to do it. And I did it player by player with this understood. Like, overall, I love that they invested in Jaden Daniels with a pick in the first round that improves their offensive line, theoretically. Investing in the trenches with a player like Connerly Jr. Investing in a corner in which corners are super important to defensive performance in today's game. So that to me was kind of a positive overall that you can take away from what they did. And I also love that I believe that this is true. I love that they're drafting the best player available in the spot in which their pick comes up, because I think they're in position to do that. They're good enough, but they're not great yet. They have a lot of needs, so it's not like they were a player or two away from being, hey, this team's the Super Bowl favorite. You know, if they get the best pass rusher in the draft, or if they get the best corner in the draft, or if they sign the best running back in the draft. Not true. They had needs at almost every position other than quarterback. So they I think, did what they did last year and what they said they would do this year, which I believe in, which is best player available. What I didn't love about this draft is, you know, because the draft is so inexact, because there's much more wrong that gets picked than right, because they did have, you know, significant needs, it would have been great had they traded back and accumulated more picks and gotten more swings than just five. You know, if you consider 35% to be an average hit rate on a draft, you'd rather that 35% be on 10 players than 5 players, because you're going to end up with more contributors. Now, they weren't going to get up to 10 picks, but they did have an opportunity late in the first round to trade back, at least according to Adam Peters, and I bet they had other opportunities to trade back as well. So getting just 5 picks, we knew that going in, we were hoping that they would end up with more, and not getting one of the, I think, significant needs that they have. But what do I know? Because they may feel totally differently about the players that are currently in-house. They may feel like, you know, we're okay with Dorrance Armstrong and with Dietrich Wise and with Javon Kinlaw and with Deron playing, you know, in the second year of this system, et cetera, to have a really good pass rush and a really good defense. But they didn't get, you know, a potential major impact defensive player on the defensive line, specifically a defensive edge, you know, a defensive end slash edge. So with that in mind, here are my thoughts on the players, starting with Connerly Jr. again, love that they're investing in protecting their number one asset, which is Jaden Daniels. I like that they invested in the trenches. I like the athleticism of the player. I like that Cliff Kingsbury wanted him so much. I like that they also filled a need. Yeah, it was very clear with the trade for Laremy Tunsil that they didn't view Brandon Coleman as a starting left tackle. And it's pretty clear, given that he was the best player on the board and that they, if you take them for their word, they were hoping he would slide to them after a while, that they didn't view Brandon Coleman as a starting right tackle. So investing in the trenches, in the division they're in the situation they're in, trying to compete with Philadelphia, which is very strong on their defensive front, very strong defensively overall. The athleticism of this potential player, the fact that they picked him before all of the highly rated offensive linemen were gone. Simmons went to Kansas City at the end. By the way, I did see that video of Howie Roseman looking to trade up in that first round with Washington. If you haven't seen that video, do you have that sound? I'm curious. I didn't ask you before the show, Max.
I can get it in a matter of like 30 seconds.
Yeah, if you can get it, that'd be great for those that haven't heard it. Basically, Howie Roseman recorded in the draft room in Philadelphia, making a call, by the way, for the second straight year to Washington. There was a trade made in the second round last year between Washington and Philadelphia. This year, he was looking to trade up to 29. He wanted Jihad Campbell, the linebacker out of Alabama. This was his call to Adam Peters.
Where are you? Hey, buddy. How we doing? Yeah, it's a tradition. I feel like we should keep it keeping short. Any interest in a small move back? See? Said there's an in-division tax. You really didn't want to do a trade with me.
With the 29th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Josh Connerly, Jr.
Here we go.
Tackle, Oregon.
Well, okay.
Connor. It's a great pick.
That last comment from Howie Roseman, great pick. I guess it's nice to hear that from Howie Roseman. Tried to trade up, which would have been from 32 to 29. Now, Philadelphia did make a trade with Kansas City to move up one spot after this conversation with Washington. Washington didn't want to trade back. Now, Philly wanted Jihad Campbell. That's the player they wanted. And Washington, I guarantee you, felt like trading back to 32, which is what would have happened in that spot, to pick up maybe a third rounder for the move, that they would have lost Connerly Jr. maybe to Kansas City, who was scheduled to pick at 31 before the trade with Philadelphia. I don't think they wanted to risk it. I think they really legitimately wanted Josh Connerly Jr. and knew that if they traded back even just from 29 to 32 in that spot, that there was a chance that they would lose him. So there's just a lot there, you know, that confirms that Adam Peters wasn't, you know, BSing us when he said we had opportunities, plural, he said, to move back and not that far. I thought maybe Kansas City was the team moving up to 29. Maybe they were too, but now we know Philadelphia was interested in trading up to 29. And yeah, you know, already since Adam Peters took over, there have been a couple of trades with Philadelphia. A draft day trade last year where Washington picked up 2 seconds but gave up a second, which became Cooper DeJean for Philadelphia. Washington, it ended up becoming San Ristil and Ben Sinnott in the second round, right? I think that's what it was. And then obviously Washington traded Jahan Dotson to Philly as well during training camp. But I think Washington didn't trade back because they were fearful of losing Connerly Jr. So anyway, back to the grading of the draft. I like that Connerly Jr. was picked by Washington. I think I like the player, I admit. Offensive line, very tough for most fans to really and truly evaluate. Cooley loved Connerly Jr., said super athletic. Just the athleticism alone against some of the best defensive players, including guys like Abdul Carter that he faced in college, meant that without question he looked the part of a first-round pick. I give the Connerly pick an A. Trey Amos. Look, they picked a guy at the end of the second round that was projected by many to go in the first round, worst case, early second round. So based on that, the value looks good. I like the player. I talked about this player before the draft. I liked a few of the other corners as well, and maybe a little bit more, but I trust them on the fit. Cornerbacks, like offensive linemen, are hard for us to analyze because so much of it is fit and scheme dependent. But I'll give that pick an A. So there you go. The first two picks, A. Jalen Lane. I didn't know much about Lane, but I'm impressed. You know, he's athletic. He's got great speed. He's a true vertical threat, you know, especially with a quarterback that can throw the football. He's also a weapon, you know, because of all of the reverses and jet sweeps and screens at the line of scrimmage that he ran at Virginia Tech. You know, he's also a punt returner. So I think the value was fine. I liked a few receivers a lot more, but they were all gone by the time Washington got to their fourth round pick. Washington didn't have a third rounder. I liked the Jalen Lane pick. I give it a B. Kane Medrano was the player that after the draft, I really loved the player as much as a fan can love a player's highlight reel for the most part. The value in the sixth round, you know, based on kind of a back of the envelope consensus before the draft, the value was fine. I personally don't know what he is. He might be a safety. He actually has the build of more of a safety, but he played a lot of linebacker. I love the athleticism. I love the, you know, relative athletic scores of this draft. That should have been something I also mentioned as kind of an overview, big takeaway, in that I do like that they certainly have this idea that they want more athleticism, more team speed, and I thought team speed was something they needed to improve here in the offseason anyway. But I loved watching Kane Medrano's anticipation feel and talent. He did have some issues with tackling at times and missed tackles, sometimes overplaying the anticipation, being there, but maybe a bit too early. But I thought that this player, based on where they got him and his athleticism and his feel for the game, was B plus A minus. So far, I like all the players. And then lastly, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. There's something about this pick that I bet you guys didn't know. I'll share that with you when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
All right, yesterday, too much rain. The Nats had their game postponed yesterday, and they will re-rack and take on the Cleveland Guardians twice in a doubleheader right here on the Team 980 pregame with Charlie and Dave. Starts at 3:05. Two thrilling NBA finishes last night. The Knicks rally from a 20-point deficit to beat the Boston Celtics in overtime 108-105, and the Nuggets fight back and steal a win off the Oklahoma City Thunder. Jokic put up 42 points and 22 rebounds. Clemson and Notre Dame football programs have announced a home-and-home series set to begin in 2027. The two college football titans will face off through 2038, and the series will work independently of the ACC structure and does not count towards one of Notre Dame's five ACC games. The Washington Capitals will take on the Carolina Hurricanes after nearly a week off pregame at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. Logan Thompson expected to get the start. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980 and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.